Hello and welcome in to another episode of Locked On Wolves. This is the post-game podcast from a big Timberwolves win over a full-strength LA Clippers team on Tuesday night. The Wolves held on to win by 7. I want to break down how the Wolves won a game in which their leading scorer was Jaden McDaniels with only 20 points, what the biggest piece of the Wolves' victory was, and also down the stretch, the defense, a breakdown Ant's game because he played extremely well. Even though the box score was ugly, Ant was great. We're going to break the whole game down here on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day. And this is a very happy victory Wednesday. We're going to break down the Wolves' big win over the Clippers on Tuesday here in just a moment. First of all, though, a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Locked On Wolves is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find this show. You can also watch on the Locked On Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, so the Wolves, of course, we're in a bit of a mini spiral. Spirals, I don't know that it's aggressive. Three straight losses. Some pretty brutal losses of late. The Wizards game before the break, the Charlotte game right after. Sunday, just given the nature of how many guys were out for Golden State and the fact that the Wolves led for so much of that game and were right in things and couldn't win, this win felt all that much bigger. And it's, of course, in line with what we've seen the Timberwolves do for much of the season. It was just playing up and playing down to their competition. This was a Clippers team that has had both Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. The time in December when these two teams matched up, a Clippers team that had Kawhi and PG on the floor held the Wolves to 88 points. The Wolves lost by 11. The Wolves beat the Clippers in early January, but that was a Clippers team with no George and no Kawhi. This was a full-strength Clippers team against a depleted Timberwolves team. Rudy Gobert played. Of course, he didn't on Sunday in Golden State, but of course, no Karl Anthony Towns. Torian Prince did come back and play in this game after missing the first two after the break, but still no Karl Anthony Towns and no Jalen Noel for the Wolves either. And of course, no D'Angelo Russell as part of this new-look Timberwolves team, and yet they come back and they win this game in LA by 7. To me, there's a couple main takeaways here. And, I teased the Ant thing at the start of the show, but I actually think I want to start with Rudy. Let's start here. So the Timberwolves were actually down by 7 at the end of the first quarter. And this looked for all the world like it was the fifth quarter of the Golden State game, really. The Timberwolves just a little bit sluggish to start, really sloppy. The transition defense was something that we've seen as bad as it's been all season. Just a complete failure to get back. And this is the Clippers of all teams. So to have the LA Clippers, who are like 24th or 25th in pace league-wide, now obviously having Russell Westbrook, he's always playing at 110 miles an hour, good or bad, and these days it's mostly bad. So that's going to speed up your pace. But for the season, they're like 25th in pace. And to have the Clippers, to have their head coach, to have Ty Lue imploring them to speed up the pace, speed up the pace, speed up the pace. That tells you just how bad, like we've said this all season, the book is out on the Timberwolves. They don't get back in transition. The easiest way to score against them is by scoring in transition. And the Clippers did that early. They beat the Wolves in fast break points on the night. And that's what happened in the first quarter. Like you'd see Ant shoot a three on the right. There was one particular play. I think it was like midway through the first. Ant attempted a right wing three, watched a shot, didn't get back, didn't crash the glass, just kind of stood there. Whoever was on the other wing didn't run back either. I think it might've been Kyle Anderson. And whichever Clippers player it was, just as soon as the shot went up, just sprinted down the floor, got a run out for a dunk. The Wolves just continue to have a complete failure to understand. Like when you shoot a perimeter jumper, you got to get back. Even if it's not your man or it's not the man that contested and released, if it's just somebody, if anybody sprints down the floor for an outlet pass and you're the guy that just shot it from the perimeter, you got to get back. And the Timberwolves showed no understanding of that once again in this game, and it was a big part of why the Clippers scored 33 in the first quarter and built a 7-point lead. The Timberwolves, Rudy Gobert had a bad first quarter. It just, all the way around, it was a disappointing opening frame for Minnesota. I would say sluggish. I would say the offense continued to be disjointed, and that was kind of my weekend takeaway from Friday's loss to Charlotte and Sunday's loss to Golden State, was just a disjointed offense. Again, Rudy struggled, just wasn't great. And then in the second quarter, the bench came in and Naz Reid actually end first, early second, kind of gave the Wolves a jolt. And Naz finished 12-8, played really well. His energy was a big piece. Jordan McLaughlin played well in this game after really struggling against Golden State on Sunday. But McLaughlin, Naz, Torian Prince in his return, first game for him after the All-Star break, kind of gave the Wolves a jolt. And by the time the starters came back in, it was like they'd received said jolt and were ready to play. I don't know why it took that, but sometimes it does. And kudos to the bench. They got the Wolves closer. When they came in the game versus when they came out, the bench was a net positive early in the game. You know, obviously, you're just saying the bench as a whole, like bench-led units with McLaughlin and or Naz on the floor were a positive in the first and second quarter of this game. Then the Wolves starters came back in. They closed the second quarter strong. Rudy Gobert was really good. I believe it was the second quarter, and this is what I wanted to get to. When the Clippers tried going small against the Wolves, and it did not work. It was the second quarter. The Clippers tried going small, and Rudy got a block and then scored on the other end, and then the Wolves got another stop. I think it was a Clippers turnover. I think the turnover is first. Rudy scores. Rudy block. Rudy scores again, then the Wolves scored on their next possession, and immediately after like 3-4 possessions like that, Ty Lue puts Ivica Zubac back in the game. Now, we should point out that the Clippers are happy to let Zubac be played off the floor, especially against the Wolves, right? This is actually pretty interesting. So when the Wolves and Clippers played in December, and the Clippers had their you know, both Kawhi and Paul George played, Zubac played only 17 minutes, and it was a close game. It was an 11-point game. Gobert was healthy and played in that game, but the Clippers just said, hey, let's go small. Zubac played 17 minutes. When the Wolves won, no Kawhi, no Paul George, for what that's worth, back on January 6th, Zubac played only 21 minutes. The Clippers are happy to let Zubac be played off the floor. He's been playing a little more recently, but you go back and look at his game log, and like, you know, oftentimes he's playing, like in the month of January, he averaged under 28 minutes. He played 28 minutes in this game. The Clippers had to have him on the floor because they had no answer for the larger Timberwolves lineups, whether it was really even Naz or Rudy in the game. And that shows how well Rudy Gobert played overall. The first quarter was bad, but Rudy played well overall, and it forced the Clippers' hands to put Zubac on the floor. I think that's a pretty good indicator of how impactful Rudy was on the game, that the Clippers were forced to play bigger than they actually would prefer to do. Like they could not just leave, Marcus Morris, you know, by himself and just, you know, say good luck. Like that wasn't going to work, right? Off the bench, Mason Plumlee, you know, he had some nice first half minutes, but like he wasn't going to provide enough resistance against Naz Reid. Like the Wolves really dominated the paint in this game. Rudy was a big part of that. The Timberwolves won paint points 60-38 in this game. Rudy, again, beating the Clippers small minutes, forcing them to play big was huge. And winning points in the paint 60-38, a huge part of that was Gobert. A big part of that was the Wolves getting downhill and scoring. They didn't shoot the ball particularly well, especially from the perimeter. The Wolves didn't. But Naz had 3 offensive rebounds. He had that big rebound on the left baseline and then the reverse slam on the opposite side of the rim. Gobert had a couple offensive rebounds and a tip-in. Torian Prince had a nice tip-in on his own miss. The Wolves were aggressive on the glass, a +2 on the glass for the night. They had 10 offensive rebounds and were positive there. Those were really, really big, especially in a game when they were again outshot at the free throw line. They were outshot outside the arc and got off to a bad start. Like they could have really folded up the tent and gone home, but they improved in all those areas. The glass, the paint were huge in this game. And again, Rudy, a big part of that. We'll talk more about him a little bit later. Next, I want to talk about the perimeter defense. I want to talk about Ant. We got to talk about Jaden McDaniels. He was phenomenal in this game. We'll spend next segment doing just that, and then we'll get to individual studs and duds after that. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to us by our friends over at FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season is passed now, and it's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That's because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and three-pointers drained and beyond. Timberwolves don't play again until Friday, but Wolves-Lakers, get in on that action at FanDuel. That's what I would recommend. I mean, there's plenty of fun stuff. I mean, think about all the former Timberwolves playing for the Lakers. Beasley, Vanderbilt, of course, well, I guess D'Lo's injured, but a lot of guys there to that you could bet on individually or just the game itself. FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. Don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, let's talk a bit about Anton McDaniels. They were, I think, the two best all-around players on the floor, at least most consistent. Again, Rudy played well. He had 16-7, was efficient, impacted the game, had a couple of blocks throughout the first quarter, and he was great. But Ant and Jaden McDaniels were really good. Let's start with Jaden. His line was actually better than Ant's. Jaden had 20 points on 8 of 12 shooting. He was 6 of 7 on two-point attempts, Jaden McDaniels was. And they weren't all at the rim. He had a couple of mid-range floater-type shots in there. 2 of 5 on threes, hit a really big one from the left corner late in the game to, I believe, push the lead at the moment. But it was a big play. Made his only 2 free throw attempts. Scored a couple buckets early in the game that were important as well to kind of keep the Wolves in it as the Clippers were off to a hot start. But finished with 20.6 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, a block, 2 turnovers. Was second on the team in minutes with 35 next to Ant. And played really lockdown defense. I mean, if you glance at the box score, you see that Paul George and Kawhi both had 20 plus. George had 25 on 21 shots. Kawhi had 23 on 19 shots. But in general, the Wolves held them mostly in check, right? They each had 3 turnovers. They combined to attempt only 10 free throws. They shot the ball well from 3, but the Clippers also run some well-designed play. Paul George got hot towards the end. There was a 3-pointer he made. Finch was demonstrably upset at the on the sideline, threw his hands up in the air. I didn't think the Wolves played it poorly. Ant fought through the screen. He got over it, contested the shot. George just made the shot. It wasn't like he forgot to go over the screen. I mean, there's some of that too, right? We're talking about Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, two of the best all-around players in the NBA still. And I thought Ant and Jaden McDaniels were really good. And there was a possession late in the game. I think it was the possession after, maybe 2 after that one, when Ant's defense on, I think it was on Paul George, he made him give the ball up. And McDaniels did the same to Kawhi. It was a little reminiscent of that Luka possession in Dallas a couple of weeks ago. Not quite to that level, but they forced the Clippers into an empty possession and 3 passes. And you know, I think who ended up shooting the ball wasn't who they wanted him to. Or actually, that might have been the possession when Westbrook hit the 3, the impossible 3 over Kyle Anderson on the left wing. But you live with a contested Russell Westbrook, 26-footer fading away. That's much better than anything Paul George or Kawhi Leonard are going to do. You didn't let any... the Wolves weren't even letting them get into the paint late in this game when they really locked in. And Ant said as much in the postgame interview on TNT, he knows they're good ISO defenders. If teams are going to play ISO against the Wolves, Ant and Jaden McDaniels are as good of a perimeter duo as you're going to find in terms of one-on-one isolation defense. Find me a team with 2 better frontline, starting caliber guys. There's role players who can, play minutes here and there, the Josh Okogie types, right? That aren't big minute type guys because you can't have them on the floor too often offensively, and they've got some shortcomings, be it size, rebounding, et cetera. Anton McDaniels do enough on both ends of the floor. They're going to be on the floor. They're starters. They led the team in minutes in this game. Find me a better duo that's going to be able, a team that's going to be able to have a more dynamic perimeter defense duo that's going to play heavy minutes. And then you add Rudy Gobert on the back line, and that's a really nice defensive setup. And that's obviously what the Wolves were going for. And then you have solid team defenders in Mike Conley and Kyle Anderson. If the Wolves can clean up some of the off-ball issues that Ant continues to have, and to a lesser extent, and not even as much McDaniels. It is really at the moment. I mean, when Carl Anthony Towns is healthy, like that's going to be a thing for him too, right? To not get beat back door. We've seen that song and dance. We've seen him, you know, less lately. And by lately, I mean this season and late last season. But he has some of that aloofness that occasionally would plague D'Angelo Russell as well. But like this is a good offensive team, like, you know, fairly middle of the pack or better when Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are healthy. The Wolves held them to 101 points in this game on 42% shooting. And they were 39% from three. It was the paint defense that was really good. It was forcing them to tough shots. They still put them on the line too often. But I mean, like we see the Wolves do that constantly, right? They gave up 23 free throw attempts to the Clippers. And the Clippers made 87% of them. The Clippers picked up 7 points at the line that the Wolves did not get because of the Wolves' poor free throw shooting. But the Timberwolves' perimeter defense was really, really good in this game. Last point here before we get to individual studs and duds. I thought the Timberwolves starters as a whole played better as the game went on. I think that defined the middle stages of the game. And that includes Anthony Edwards. He hit a couple of threes early and it kind of felt like, oh, okay, national TV game. Ant's got a couple early threes. He's going to go bonkers. That didn't happen, right? He shot 33% from the floor. 18 points and 18 shots, not efficient. Only 5 free throw attempts, which many, many, many rants. Could we get a whistle? Like, I know Ant's annoying with the hay thing. I get it, officials. You've proven your point, whatever. But you cannot tell me that Anthony Edwards only deserved 5 free throws in this game. He only shot 5 threes. He shot 13 two-pointers. I think maybe 2 or 3 were mid-range. I could see if I could pull up a shot chart quick. That sounds right to me. Like he wasn't shooting a ton of mid-range jumpers. Give the man a foul call. Like it's getting to the point where it's like, all right. I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. Like it's frustrating. And it's also annoying that Ant always seems to think he's getting fouled, but he's hardly alone in thinking that. Ant shot 3 non-paint twos in this game, according to this shot chart that I'm looking at. So that means he shot 10 paint two-pointers and ended up shooting 5 free throws. And of course, that doesn't include the shots he was fouled on because those don't count. So that means he shot 10 times in the paint. I think he had 1 and 1. That weren't called, and none of those apparently were fouls. Only 5 free throw attempts for the game. So that was not enough in my book. But offensively, what I thought Ant did really well was playmaking in general. And kind of the quintessential example of this, and the one you'll see on the highlight shows, was the game sealer, right? When the Timberwolves called, it was essentially a horns action with a twist on it, where they started in horns, and then I forget what the exact action was, but basically they peeled back one of those screens. So Ant ends up with the ball and pick and roll on the left side. And Kyle Anderson's in the dunker spot. Ant slings a left-handed bounce pass, 1 bounce, velocity on it, straight to Kyle Anderson, who all in one motion grabs it and throws a pass to a cutting Rudy Gobert, barreling down the lane for a dunk that essentially seals the game. I think made it 5 points at the time. That was kind of all she wrote. That was kind of quintessential. And actually a couple possessions before that on the Jaden McDaniels corner three on the left side that I referenced earlier, that was a blitz pick and roll coverage from the Clippers. Like they tried to trap Ant without hesitation. Left-handed pass to, I think it was Mike Conley in the left slot. He rotates it to the corner to McDaniels. They get a relatively open three. The Clippers actually defended it pretty well. But that shot was made possible because Ant made the quick decision. And we saw Ant start to do this last year. Remember, this was a thing because last year he told Carl Anthony Towns in the media, like, you've got to go faster, Cat. You can't wait for the double to get all the way there. You just got to make the decision and go. Ant did exactly that in that scenario where he saw the double coming, waited till the perfect spot, started the rotation to get McDaniels a semi-open three, lightly contested three, if you will. And in both those scenarios, Ant made the right decision and made it quickly. Now, he doesn't do that all the time, but the fact that he can do it and he has the physical ability to make that left-handed pass like he did on that bounce pass he slung to Kyle Anderson, the combination of him starting to understand that and do it with more frequency and consistency and the physical ability to complete that pass is really incredible. That was just a great moment for him. And as a playmaker in this game, again, only 3 assists. Yes, he had 4 turnovers. Yes, he, you know, missed 12 shots in this game. 1 point per shot is not efficient. But the offensive playmaking and the perimeter defense, the ability to impact the game in ways other than scoring, are things that I didn't think it was likely we'd be seeing that this early in Anthony Edwards' career. And here we are. This was a pretty good example of that. And it was just Sunday. Actually, just Tuesday's show, on the heels of these losses to Charlotte and Golden State, when I was kind of lamenting, like, hey, where are the Wolves going to get offense from? Like, who's going to do anything besides Ant? And here we go. Ant, yeah, he scores a little, but he's not the offense. He's facilitating for others. And it's Jaden McDaniels leading the team with 20, and it's Rudy with 16, and it's Nas with 12 off the bench. And then, of course, the return of Torian Prince helped too. But this was a good example of the ways that the Timberwolves can get wins without Ant completely dominating the scoring column and really dominating the usage in the on the offensive end of the floor, too. So a very nice all-around win for Minnesota. All right, I want to close with individual studs and duds, and that'll be all for the show here today. All right, individual studs and duds, pretty easy. Kind of already talked about the guys that I thought played great, but we'll start with Jaden McDaniels. I thought he was the best all-around player on the floor in this game, bar none. I thought he played better than Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. 35 minutes, 20 points on 8 of 12 shooting, a cool 67% from the field for Jaden. 2 of 5 on 3, as I said this earlier, that's 7 of 8. Is that math right? Nope. 6 of 7 on 2-point attempts for Jaden McDaniels. And again, a lot of those were, a lot of those were in the paint. Well, actually, here, I've got the shot chart right here. He made one non-paint too. So he was 5 of 6 in the paint, 1 of 1 on a non-paint twos, 2 of 5 outside the arc. So a very nice shooting night for Jaden. Picked his spots nicely. Again, 6 rebounds is nice. You'd love for him to get, I'm nitpicking a couple more. But, hey, we'll take it. It's progress, right? 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 2 turnovers. Also, by the way, Jaden McDaniels was called for 1 foul. I believe it was first quarter. It was kind of a ticky-tack type, middle of the floor situation. Well outside, well out onto the perimeter. But like how many games has Jaden McDaniels had only one foul? Not very often. This was a really nice Jaden McDaniels game. And this is right after I said after the Warriors game, like, hey, Jaden McDaniels has to do more. We're talking so much about Jaden's defense and how he's progressing offensively, but as Rudy Gobert didn't play the other day. So like you need points. Where's it going to come from? Are you really going to rely on Jaden McDaniels? And it's games like this that pull us all right back in. And he can't come out on Friday and lay an egg offensively against the Lakers. He's got to do something like what he did in this game. It was a really nice all-around game from Jaden. I'm going to give a stud to Rudy Gobert, 16-7. It's not a super gaudy line, but for how badly he played in the first quarter, I think we can give him props for how well he played the rest of the game. Was really active. I talked about this in the first segment, forced Zubats onto the floor, like forced the Clippers to play big, to play real minutes with Zubats. And Gobert played well, a sloppy first half. But then besides that, like the chemistry with Conley is evident. He had some nice kind of the empty corner pick and rolls with Conley that, Conley missed a couple floaters, but Rudy setting good screens, being in the right place at the right time. And, his efficient self, 7 of 11 from the field. It'd be nice if he was better than 2 of 6 from the line, but he pitched in the 7 rebounds, 2 blocks. And this was a good Gobert game. You add Kat to the mix, and Rudy can average 16-7 every night. And if Ant's getting his 20-plus and Kat's getting 20-8 or whatever, and Jaden, I don't think he's going to score 20 a game when all those guys are on the floor, but if he has the ability to do that and he makes a little bit of noise too, that's a pretty good setup for the Wolves. I know I talked a lot about how well Ant played. I'm not going to give him a stud. The shooting was not great. I already, kind of lauded all the other stuff he did. I want to give Nas a shout out. Nas Reed was good. I know he had 4 turnovers. He committed a ton of fouls early, but he was so active. And he was he was really a disruptor in this game. And that's kind of one of the things he always does. But weird in a weird way, like the fouls, the offensive rebounding, the dunk, he just kind of came into the game and just like was a wrecking ball for a few minutes. It's actually similar in a big way, or as a big similar to what Jalen Noel has done, the good version of Jalen Noel has done at times in the backcourt, which is just come in and like make your presence felt. Like you're never wondering, hey, did Nas play in this game? It's one of the things Marty Gellner always says about Jalen Noel. Like Nas just made some noise. He committed 5 fouls in 19 minutes. That wasn't great. You know, he took an ill-advised three at one point. He was 4-7 at the line, but like he had 8 rebounds. He had the 4 turnovers too. He had 8 rebounds, 3 offensive rebounds, that big putback dunk, got to the line 7 times in 19 minutes, finished with 12-8-2 plus a steal. And it disrupted the flow of this game that the Clippers were really dictating. And the Clippers, again, are a team that doesn't like to play fast, but the book is out. You can do that, and you need to do it against the Wolves. You can't score against the Wolves' half-court defense with frequency when, you know, McDaniels, Edwards, and Gobert are on the floor. So you got to score in transition. And Naz came in and kind of disrupted all of that. Like, he was just a wrecking ball. He committed a bunch of fouls, grabbed a bunch of rebounds, got a dunk, turned the ball over, like, just was just all over the place, kind of mucked things up. In a good way, ultimately, and was a big part of the Timberwolves kind of surging ahead and taking that 2-point lead at halftime. So a very good Naz Reid game, in my opinion. No real duds for me in this one. Like, Conley didn't score until, later in the game. He had 6.7 assists. Like, the 7 assists to 1 turnover was really nice. 3 steals, had a couple big ones in there. I thought he played well overall. Just, you know, he's quieter. Not going to score a ton of points at this stage. I guess if I had to pick one, it'd be Austin Rivers. He got that first half stint. It was really quiet. No points, 0-1 shooting. Did have a couple assists. I don't know. Like, nobody really played poorly for the Wolves. Notably related to the rotation, Jalen Noel continues to be out with the knee injury. Torian Prince made his return. Nikhil Alexander-Walker played 17 minutes. He got those second half wing minutes off the bench, so more minutes than Rivers. I wonder if, you know, depending on game situation, Nikhil Alexander-Walker probably gets the Noel minutes moving forward, unless the Wolves are way behind in a game and they need a scoring punch. You throw Noel out there, see if you can strike lightning in a bottle. But Alexander Walker is by far the superior defender, and he can also knock down an open three. You don't feel like, you know, he's not going to dominate possessions like Noel does when he's on the floor. So if you get him on the floor with a McLaughlin and Prince, who can generate his own offense, McLaughlin, who can orchestrate things, and Naz, who's going to do a lot of that scoring, Alexander Walker may actually ultimately be a better fit with the second unit than Jalen Noel. And I know that it's popular currently to really dislike Jalen Noel because he's played, frankly, poorly over the last couple of months. But the idea that Jalen Noel was going to be an important part of the bench was not crazy, and he was really good early in the season. Sitting here right now, with the way the team is constructed, Alexander Walker is probably a better fit. Naz is playing really well. McLaughlin's back. You don't need Noel as badly as you did in the fall. In my opinion. So interesting to see if Noel comes back. You know, he was questionable this week. Perhaps he comes back Friday. We'll see, you know, who gets those minutes, if it's him or if it's Alexander Walker, but that'll be fun to keep an eye on. All right, that's all I have for today. Of course, we'll have a show Thursday. We'll also, Friday, we'll preview Wolves Lakers on Friday night. We will be back with the postcast. We did not do the live postcast with Marnie on Tuesday after the TNT game, but we will on Friday after Wolves Lakers. So be sure to tune into that. It'll be very late Friday night, but we will do the live postcast. Of course, that's after most Wolves games will go live on Lockdown Sports Minnesota on YouTube. And then you could also listen to the audio on wherever you listen to podcasts. You can listen to it on the Lockdown Wolves feed after each and every game. That's all we have for you tonight. Of course, the Lockdown Wolves podcast is part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. It's free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also watch on the Lockdown Sports Minnesota app on both Roku and Amazon Fire TV. And you can follow on Twitter at Lockdown T-Wolves and at B Beacon with 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Lockdown Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Now make your second listen the Game to Game NBA podcast. Every moment, every top performance, and every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Lockdown Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.